Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Good morning, friends. Indeed, today is the day. This is Faith Radio Mornings. I am your guest host today. My name is Carmen LaBurge. I'm actually the regular host of Connecting Faith, which is the program that you can hear every day on Faith Radio and via all of your connected devices on the Faith Radio app at noon Central Time. But it's fun to be here doing Faith Radio Mornings with Paul Perreault and Rachel Sutton. We are appreciative of their service here every single day. Not only for the guests that they line up, but for all of the labor that they put forward in order for you and I to be able to hear one another via the not only the radio, but streaming online at myfaithradio.com. I'm going to give a shout-out here to myfaithradio.com this morning. You can go there, and you can sign up for an Advent devotional giveaway. Advent actually begins this coming Sunday, so an opportunity for you to have a devotional for you to reflect throughout the Christmas season. We also have an opportunity there for you to sign up for the verse of the day. Today's verse of the day is Micah 6:8. And so what does that mean and look like in your own life to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God? Like, what does that look like walked out in the world as a person of faith today? The other thing that you can do while you are at myfaithradio.com is click on some of the tabs for our different programs. So if you were to click on the tab for the Faith Radio Morning Show, you would be able to go and listen again to prior shows via the podcast. Now, today, one of the podcasts that you're going to definitely want to go get is the podcast from a week ago, 11:21, hour two, where you could listen to the first half of the conversation that I'm going to be having the second half of in just a moment with Bill English. Because last week, he was on the show, and he was talking about the top 10 best practices for small businesses. And he got through the first five on the list. And so today, we are going to do numbers 6 through 10. And so you're going to want to go back and grab the podcast from myfaithradio.com, go to the program podcast for Faith Radio Mornings, and listen to Bill English's top five, because today we're going to do the last five on that list. So when we come right back in just a moment with Bill English here on Faith Radio Mornings, we're going to have some fun talking about, well, what are the best practices for us going forward, not only here at the end of the year, but as we move into the year ahead. Again, you're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, and I am your host, Carmen LaBurge. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I am Carmen LaBurge, sitting in today for Peter Kapsner. We're thrilled to have you with us here today. We're seeking to equip and empower you as a Christian out there in the world to live faithfully always and in all ways. And so joining me for conversation now to help equip us to do that in the area of our working life and our businesses is Bill English. Bill is a regular guest here on Faith Radio Mornings. And last week, he started summarizing for us the best practices. The full list is something that we are going to work on today. And so last week, Bill shared the top five. And so, Bill English, welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings.
And welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. Carmen, how are you?
Yeah, thank you. It's great. I'm fabulous. Thank you.
You know.
So last week you rattled off. That's not fair. Last week you didn't just rattle them off. You delved deeply into them. I am now going to rattle them off.
All right.
So we can review for folks the top five, and then you're going to round out the list for us, and we're going to go more slowly through items 6 through 10. So just as a reminder to folks, the top five best practices, the first one is related to employees and HR. What's the one nugget we need to know about that?
Just hire character and train skill. If you hire bad character, you get toxic people on your staff, and that'll ruin your business.
Yes. So I like to say hire for character, not just characters.
Well, yes. That would be a way to do that. Yeah.
So number two, personal development.
Yes. You need to have a these best practices are for business owners, mind you. And so the personal development aspect is that you need to have a team of trusted advisors who speak into your life and into your business on a regular basis and who can give you some truth that probably your staff is never going to give you, because once you hire your first person in a business, you really never know what everything that's going on in your business after that. So employees tend to only give you 80-90% of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Because they're trying to protect themselves against you thinking that they're the cause for things that might not be going right.
Potentially they're trying to manage your emotions. If you're a person who gets angry sometimes, they tailor what they say and do to make sure that you don't get angry. It's something that we all do in life. And you know, one of my axioms is the truth is never the problem. And so, you know, we got to deal in truth in business if we're going to be successful.
Okay, I love that. Conflict and problems is number three.
Yeah, you got to embrace, engage, and deal with the negative, right? You have the problems that you tolerate. You have the conflicts that you tolerate. Lots of conflicts leave lots of opportunity, growth, and profit on the table. So get in there, manage those conflicts, resolve them, and move your business forward.
All right, number four is cash management.
Yeah, you know what? You can go out of business if you're profitable on an accrual basis, but on a cash basis, if you're always building cash in your business, it's a lot more difficult to go out of business. And so we talk about knowing your cash break-even, not just your break-even, but your cash break-even, getting under it and staying there. And as your business grows, of course, your cash break-even grows, but you want to get under it and stay there.
So I feel like we could have a whole conversation about cash management related to the status of things in America and our crushing debt. But we not have to save that for a different day. So number five on the list, right? Number five on the list is governance.
Yeah, governance. Crazy smart people who are highly talented often make bad business partners. So what you want to do is choose your partners carefully. Choose them not for the utility that they bring to your business, not the fact that they can do a lot of things in your business, but choose them because they know how to govern and manage, and they can take on risk, basically financial risk, and that they know how to do the governance parts of a business. Some of the worst decisions that business owners have made is to hire crazy smart people who are very good at what they do, but those kind of people tend to not have a lot of good people skills, and they make them partners, and then they live with the pain of that decision for, you know, years, and it's just not a good thing.
So it seems like, Bill, that there's a lot of connecting back to number one, which is hiring character and then training for skill. Because if I'm hiring for character, and then some of these other things, I'm not saying they work themselves out, but they are easier to work out. It's easier to work out conflicts and problems with a person who is, you know, a person of character. It's easier to govern alongside, or it's easier to govern a person who, you know, has good character. So number one really does seem to need a big, bright, shiny star next to it.
Yeah, and it's really a reflection of really the first third of my Christian business reference architecture out at BibleandBusiness.com, where I talk about who you are is more important than what you can do when it comes to stewarding a business. So business owners have been given an incredible stewardship opportunity by God, and they have a unique platform from which to give, from which to influence, those kinds of things. They can screw it up if they don't have the character to manage it properly. And so the first part of the Christian business reference architecture is all about who you are. Do you know Jesus? Are you free from the bondage of sin? Can you manage conflict well? Do you have margin in your life? The very things that affect you will also affect your business. And here's one more thing. Your personal dysfunction as a business owner will always be imprinted onto your business. Every organization takes on the personality of their leaders. And so your business will take on your personal dysfunctions. 9 times out of 10, you will see those dysfunctions, or you will translate that as a business problem rather than an ownership problem. And that's where so many small businesses get into trouble. They don't see themselves, the owners don't see themselves as to how they get in the way of their own business. They keep stepping on their own feet, and they don't even realize it.
All right, friends, we're talking with Bill English. The website is BibleAndBusiness.com. He made reference there to the Christian business architecture, but he and I are also talking today about the top 10 best practices. We're going to slow down after the break and move more methodically through the list, items 6 through 10. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. Hey friends, welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I am your host for the day. My name is Carmen LaBerge. You can check out what we're doing at myfaithradio.com, and you can also share today's show via all your connected devices on the Faith Radio app. So good morning to you all wherever you may be. May you be in Christ wherever you are. That would be, you know, my encouragement today, to be abiding in Christ wherever you find yourself, wherever you find yourself laboring, wherever you find yourself shoveling snow, wherever you find yourself in whatever capacity you are serving today, you are serving on the front line of the gospel advance in this generation. So I want you to remember that. Wherever you are serving today, you are serving on the front line of the gospel advance in this generation. And so let's get after it. And today, to help us do that in our businesses, is Bill English. He runs the website BibleAndBusiness.com. He is also a consultant for the Platinum Group. And he recently held a seminar for small business owners called the Best Practices Conference, and he is sharing those insights with us today. So we're picking up at number 6 on the list. Bill English, take it away with decisions.
Decisions. Learn the difference between being tenaciously committed and foolishly stubborn, because the two look very, very similar on the surface, but they're going to have remarkably different results. So tenaciously committed is, you know, we all hear about stories about a guy or a gal who gets into business and they just stay after it and stay after it and stay after it. And boy, through heaven, hell, and high water, they figure out how to be successful. And we all stand up and applaud and yay, 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 you know, but there, for every one of those, there's probably 500 businesses that failed, who really tried just as hard. So it's something that you have to know when to fold them, when to hold them, when to walk away, when to run, to use a Kenny Rogers song from the 80s, dating myself. And so tenaciously committed usually is to a plan, to something that has been vetted with your trusted advisors, something that you do well and that you know you're going to be successful at because you're following plan. Being stubborn is just saying, I want my way, and it's going to have to be my way, and I'm just going to will this into existence kind of thing. Usually the latter ends in disaster.
So number 7 on the list is mistakes. And I think that, you know, in terms of business leadership, this one is applicable, you know, across, in fact, all of these are, across many environs. Many of us do not like to admit that we make mistakes, and then we, because we don't want to admit that we made a mistake, we don't deal with the mistake, which gets us back to sort of conflict and problems in number 3. But what is it, what happens when I rationalize my mistakes?
You don't take care of them. You don't solve them. You don't change them, and the mistakes continue to fester and pester in your business. And so every turnaround that I've ever been a part of, one of the things Platinum Group does is a lot of turnarounds. We take businesses that are literally on death's doorstep within hours or days of going bankrupt, and we step in and we turn them around and make them profitable again. In every one that I've been involved in, the ownership has been rationalizing their mistakes. They had good reasons as to why they stayed the course, why they were foolishly stubborn, and why they kept going down the path that led to destruction. And they didn't take those opportunities to use their mistakes to learn how to do their business better. So we really talk about, don't rationalize your mistakes. Own it up, admit it, face into the negative, and start making the changes that you need to make.
So the next item on the list is number 8, and it's leadership. And so in addition to hiring for character, when I am trying to hire key leaders, what's really important?
They got to be smarter than me and better than me in the areas that they're hiring. This is a Steve Jobs thing. He said, hire smart people, not so that you can tell them what to do, but so they can tell you what to do. And I really buy into that notion that when you're building your leadership team in your business, you need, and you're hiring key positions, especially your C-suite and your VP suite, you need to be hiring people who really are good at what they do. They have the character to fit into your culture, and then you turn them loose and let them go do what they do best, and you don't micromanage them.
Yeah, I think that one of the real challenges is once you've hired somebody, then letting them really be who they are and do what they do, trusting that you have hired for character and that you have hired a quality person, versus imagining that they're going to do it in every moment the way you would do it. Because if that were true, then you would be doing it.
Well, yeah, so many small business owners are high control people. And so they have a very difficult time letting go and delegating, or they delegate and then they come back around and they micromanage or change decisions behind a person's back, that kind of thing. You can't do that when you're a business owner and expect your business to scale and grow. It just isn't going to work. And your top talent isn't going to put up with that. They're going to experience that a few times and they're going to float their resume and go somewhere else. And you're going to be left with mediocre talent in your business. So what you really have to look at is when you're hiring your leadership, you are giving up control. And that's the point. If you want to scale your business from $1 million to $5 million to $20 million to $100 million, you're going to have to more and more narrowly define your role in the business as the owner, and you're going to have to get out of the way of the great people that you've hired.
So that's just so applicable to ministry as well.
Oh, it is.
Like,
I'm
like reading your list and I'm thinking, wow, there's just so many ministry leaders who need to be reading this today. Okay, so we got 9 and 10 left to go.
Yep.
So let's do purpose.
Yeah, have a transcendent purpose to which your life is tethered. Profits come, profits go. Money comes, money goes. Wealth comes, wealth goes. But purpose, life purpose does not. So if your purpose is to make money, then you'll be like Han Solo when Princess Leia looked at him in the first Star Wars movie and said, if money is all you want, then money is all you'll have. Right. Mm. And if you know, the things that we really want in life, money can't buy anyways. Not just a couple examples. Money can buy medical care, but it can't buy health. Money can buy a thrill, but it can't buy joy. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. I could go on and on with this thing. Right. And so what you need to have is a transcendent purpose to which your life is tethered that is outside your business, that isn't part of your business, that really forms the core of who you are, so that when you're in your business, you're not all about the profits. You're really about using your business for the kingdom of God.
Okay, so I know we need to do margin, but I want to connect for folks. I want to connect number 9 to number 1, because when I'm hiring people, I'm looking for their answer to number 9. Number 9 is purpose, and the way that I feel like I can judge the character of an individual is if they understand, if they get it, that their purpose is not to come and do a job, that their purpose is some grandiose thing, that what they do alongside me and whatever it is we're doing together in a business or a ministry is advancing them toward the next thing. Like, right, I'm not trying to capture them forever into my little system to advance something that I'm doing. I am trying to see who sees what I'm doing as a part of the pathway to their next thing, because if they're going to really want to do well in what we're doing together, if they see it as moving them toward their greater purpose. And so the character part of this for me, in part, is I want people that are really passionate about some world-changing, gospel-advancing purpose, and that what we're doing together is just a part of that. So, all right, super quick, we got to do number 10, which is margin.
Yeah, take time to get away, unplug, focus on something completely non-business. Take time to be with your family and friends. You will never lay on your deathbed saying, I wish I'd spent more time at the office.
Right. So last night we processed a quarter of an elk in my kitchen because the night before we had only processed a quarter of an elk. So there you go. Take time with your family to do the things that are important and fun.
And processing elk is important?
Absolutely. If you're going to eat, right? The one who wants to eat has to labor.
There
all right.
You
hey,
go.
Bill, you and I have to leave it right there. Friends, you can catch up with Bill at BibleandBusiness.com. Bill, thank you again so much for joining us on Faith Radio Mornings.
You bet.
Friends, I got to take another quick break, and we'll be right back here on Faith Radio Mornings after Breakpoint. Hey, friends, welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Join with me in this social media campaign, hashtag Asylum for BB. BB is spelled B-I-B-I, so that's Asylum for BB. You can participate in that hashtag on Facebook or on Twitter, and you can go to Breakpoint for a sample letter of how you might communicate your concern in this particular case. Next up, I'm going to have a conversation with Karen Ellis from International Christian Concern. She and I are going to talk about this case. We're also going to talk about the rise of Islamic extremism and religious persecution around the world. We're going to talk about the death of missionary John Allen Chow, and all of that is next up here on Faith Radio Mornings. Stick with us. Hey, friends, good morning. You are listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I am today's host, Carmen LaBurge. Yesterday, Paul Perreault had an opportunity to speak with Dr. David Stevens, who gave us some tips on, well, how to remain healthy and prevent illness in our day-to-day lives. I am following his advice. I am standing up at my desk with you on the radio right now. Let's listen in to yesterday's audio.
A lot of this is lifestyle, new recommendations. In fact, it's something happening in my office here where staff are getting stand-up desk. They put a desk module on top of their desk, which they can elevate, and they stand up while they're working to help with their day conditioning. We have a policy where people can take a half hour during their workday and go down and work out in the gym or go walking outside when the weather's nice. How do we become active? Taking the stairs. I came down here to the studio today and walked down 54 steps, and I'll walk 54 steps back up. Just making that a habit instead of taking the elevator, those things can make a big difference in your conditioning and also in your health. Help you sleep better, help you think better, be more active as much as you can.
All right, friends, that means that if you're going to listen to us and you're going to be more active, then you need to take us with you on all of your connected devices via the Faith Radio app. So, see, you don't need to sit there in your car. You could get up and you could walk around with us on the Faith Radio app even now. All right, friends, let's take another minute with Parenting Today's Teens.
When kids are young, parents are in charge. Discipline is somewhat second nature, but come to the teen years, it's a whole new ball game. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. For little kids, all it takes is a timeout or a stern look, but for teens, discipline gets a lot more complicated. Our position of authority as king and queen of the household doesn't seem to work anymore. But don't lose heart. Pay attention to the character qualities you want to nurture in your child. Then take action to see those virtues grow. Don't ignore behavioral problems and hope things will automatically get better. They won't. Though it's hard right now, continue pouring into your teen's life. The discipline you follow through on today will serve them well.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Find books and other resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org. That's parentingtodaysteens.org.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I am your host for the day. My name is Carmen LaBurge. I host the noontime program here on Faith Radio. It's called Connecting Faith. We'd love to have you join us there as well. My guest during this hour is Karen Ellis. Karen works with the International Christian Concern, ICC. It's a non-denominational Christian human rights organization dedicated to helping Christians who face discrimination and violence as a result of their faith. You can find them at persecution.org. And Karen, welcome today to Faith Radio Mornings.
Thank you, Carmen. And just by way of clarification, ICC is a great organization, but I actually work with ICR, which is located at christianresponse.org. And we do this, we do very similar work, so I can get how you got confused on that. Not a problem.
All right, christianresponse.org.
That's right.
I'm making a note of that. So, so let's talk about Christian persecution. Let's talk about persecution in general, and then let's distill down to some very specific cases. And we just heard on Breakpoint, our colleague John Stonestreet talking about one individual, Asia Bibi, in Pakistan. Our listeners are familiar, with that case, and so I'm gonna use her as an example of one individual. And then I'm hoping that you and I can have a conversation about sort of global persecution and then specifically like gendered persecution. So I know that's a lot of terrain to cover. Let's just start with sort of a survey of what's going on in the world related to Christian persecution.
Sure. Well, I think that Christian persecution today is at its highest levels. Open Doors and Voice of the Martyrs, they note on their reports that 3/4 of the world actually lives under some sort of anti-Christian hostility. That's 75%. That means you and I are in the 25% of folks who actually have religious freedom and can advocate on behalf of those who don't have it. You know, you can have there are a wide range of types of persecution. As you mentioned, there's gendered persecution, which makes anti-Christian hostility even more intense for those who are even more vulnerable in populations that have cultures that are hostile towards females in the society. Persecution is determined by a lot of different factors, and it takes a lot of different faces from region to region. So, you know, how persecution looks in India or even in a particular state or province in India may look very different from how it looks in China or how it looks in North Korea, because most times persecution is determined by politics, it's determined by culture, it's determined by history, and it's determined by the surrounding mores and attitudes. So because those things change from region to region, it looks different from one place to another. Sometimes you can have places like you mentioned, Pakistan, in the Asia Bibi case. Mother Bibi lives very much under what I would call Jim Crow-like conditions, I think, is probably the best way to express it for American audiences to understand. You know, it's a society where Christians are considered socially a lower class position than anyone else in the society. So if you're a street sweeper, your children are going to be street sweepers, and your children's children are going to be street sweepers. And there's no possibility for economic advancement. There's no possibility for educational opportunities. You will read textbooks in school that actually say Christians are dirty. Christians are untrustworthy. So it's a cultural thing where you're actually relegated to a particular position in society. That's how it takes a face in Pakistan. In another place like North Korea, has a totally different face. I think it's very interesting to look at the different expressions rather than just calling it blanket persecution, looking at the different expressions of how it changes from region to region.
Oh, I think that's really astute and very, very helpful, because I do think we tend to use the term and we imagine that it means the same thing in every place. And even though the experience of the persecuted individual might be similar in different places, the motivation of those who are doing the persecuting is different depending on the part of the world that we're talking about and the dominant religion expressed in that particular country. Friends, my conversation partner is Karen Ellis. She is with an organization called International Christian Response. You can find it at christianresponse.org, leading the news on the International Christian Response page today are a range of stories from India and Pakistan and elsewhere in the world. And so we're going to return to this conversation with Karen Ellis right after the break. You are listening to Faith Radio Mornings, and I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. Hey friends, welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings here on Faith Radio. I am your guest host. My name is Carmen LaBerge. I do host a program at noon here on the Faith Radio Network called Connecting Faith, and love it if you join me there as well. My guest this hour is Karen Ellis from International Christian Response. You can find them at christianresponse.org. We are talking about the status and plight of our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Again, Karen, welcome to Faith Radio Mornings.
Thank you, Carmen. And I just want to thank you for just giving some time to an issue that's so often overlooked. Mission is usually fairly low on people's radar, and persecution and perseverance, as I also like to look at it, Christian perseverance, they're sort of subsets of a subset of a subset of a Christian conversation. So thanks to you for giving us time.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, let's just talk a little bit about the ministry of International Christian Response. I mean, you guys have been around for nearly 50 years. You're providing spiritual and material assistance to Christians who live in countries that are hostile to the gospel. And you're enabling Christians in those places to proclaim the truth and plant churches. And as you know, the word that you use is persevere. Why don't you tell folks, like, when you think of what you guys are doing right now, what's a story that comes to mind, an impact story from your experiences in International Christian Response?
Well, gosh, we have so many, and that's the amazing thing about the work that I do, is that it's so much driven by narratives and so much driven by stories. We are in 40 different countries. We've been around, as you said, we're celebrating our 50th anniversary next year. And what makes us different from the other fine organizations that are doing similar work is we work primarily with church planters in hostile regions. And we specialize in raising up indigenous leaders inside places where Western missionaries can't go. So I think one of the things that's foremost on our radar is that we are focusing right now on how many people are actually naturally qualified, naturally equipped and prepared by God because they're indigenous inside their own context. They already have the language, they have the culture, they know the politics that shape the conditions they live under, they know the tribes, they know so much internal information that our goal is to raise up as many leaders as possible from inside those contexts, and they're wonderfully natural missionaries. I'll tell you a story that just came up a couple of days ago. Was a fellow living in Iraq, had converted to Christianity from a non-Muslim religious background, and so he had decided, because he had decided to become a Christian, his eye was plucked out by his family. He was the son of a major leader, a community leader. And his own family and his own community was very hostile towards him, plucked out his eye, beat him severely. And he asked one of our program directors, get me out. I want to leave. And then the Islamic State was pressing in and then oppressing their community at large. And he just found so many reasons naturally why he would want to leave. I'm going to call him Samir. That's not his real name, but I'll just give him a name, Samir. And so Samir spoke to our program director, and the program director said, well, it's not up to us to decide. Let's take some time. Let's pray and ask God where he wants you to be. If he wants you to leave, we will get you out. If he wants you to stay, we'll help you stay. So Samir took some time. He prayed about it. And he very much felt that God wanted him to stay in a refugee camp in Iraq where his people were. So he went back to them. And that had a huge impact on the community. They said, why are you staying? We've done everything possible to make you want to leave. And he said, no. He said, my God has called me to stay here with you. He's called me to stay here and suffer with you and forgive you And so as a result, over a few months, that garnered so much respect from his community that he has now established, God has established through him several Bible studies in their camps and other people coming to faith in Christ. So these are the kinds of stories that we deal with on a daily basis. And you can imagine with 40 countries that we're serving, and communities within those countries, we hear stories like this every day. So that's why I refer to them. On the flip side of our persecution is always Christian perseverance. And what I love about framing this population, this global population of brothers and sisters in Christ in terms of perseverance, is it takes them out of victimhood status. And it makes them a people that turns your focus onto what God is doing through them, through their incredible sacrifice. And they would, to a person, Carmen, I tell you, to a person, they would tell you they are not the hero of their own story. To a person, they would point you to Jesus Christ as the hero, of the ultimate hero of their story, the one who's acting in and through history, the one who's acting in and through some of the worst circumstances, some of the worst living conditions, some of the worst psychological conditions that you could imagine. They would point to Christ as the hero, the ultimate hero, the ultimate determiner of the course of history.
So as you're sharing, I'm thinking, Karen, about conversations that I've had with Helene Fisher from Open Doors and Lila Rizgala, who's working with, you know, I'm thinking of the stories that other people have told me about folks who they have met, our brothers and sisters in Christ around the globe, living, you know, living in the kind of context that you and I could, we frankly don't even want to imagine. And it is the lived reality of our brothers and sisters with whom we're going to spend all of eternity. And I'm remembering specifically, you know, Helene sharing about a woman who is kept basically as a dog chained to the wall of her home because she became a Christian. And that's considered, you know, if you're going to do what dogs do, which is convert to Christ, then you're going to be treated like a dog. And yet that woman's request was not that we pray for her physical liberation, but pray for the spiritual liberation of her family, and that she would be a found faithful witness even in those circumstances. And I will just admit to you, that is so non-Western. That is so not the way, right, our minds work when we think about issues of justice and when we think about the dignity of a person. But she is not living. Them. She is living as a person who believes in one who is more than a conqueror, and is empowering her to be a witness and bear witness and persevere in the most horrific of circumstances.
It really is the upside down world.
It is.
I tell you honestly, there are some stories that I hear people's reactions to, and everything in my, every fiber of my being shakes its head no. I tell you that most of the people that we deal with are partners on the ground, because we are dealing with indigenous Christians. You know, we ask, what are they doing when they're not fleeing? What are they doing when they're, you know, they're planting churches. Mm-hmm. They're sharing the gospel. They're living lives according to New Testament life. And not to be too primitive about it, but I do have some friends in a closed country who say, you know, we read the book of Acts and we walk outside and we see it come to life.
Amen.
That challenges me.
Amen. Karen, you and I are going to have to leave it right there. Friends, I want you to visit ChristianResponse.org and connect with Karen Ellis and find out what you can be doing as a Christian who is living in a very different way than many of our brothers and sisters around the globe, how you can partner with Christians in places where Christianity is not the dominant religion. Hey, you are listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I am your host, Carmen LaBerge, and we are going to have to leave it right there with Karen. Thank you so much for joining us, Karen.
Thank you, Carmen. Appreciate you.
Hey, friends, one more quick break. This is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Carmen LaBerge. All right, friends, that's literally all the time we have got here today on Faith Radio Mornings. Thank you so much for joining me. You can always visit us online at myfaithradio.com. Check out the Faith Radio Morning page. And I will be back on the air today hosting Connecting Faith. So come right back here at the noon hour and connect faith to life on Connecting Faith. Have a great day, and God bless.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.